Luke chapter 3, verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner. But the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. I want to look at especially what John had told them. I baptize with water, but there's somebody greater that's coming. And there's a different baptism that he's going to baptize you with. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The Lord would help us, and you've already prayed and asked him to, and I believe he will. I'd like to preach for a few minutes tonight. And you know what I mean by a few minutes or a little while. So a few minutes on the thought, and I don't have too many of those great philosophical thoughts. But as I felt like the Lord laid this on my heart to preach for us tonight, I want to preach. I'm cold. Will somebody build a fire?
Come on. Amen.
That's the thought that I want to get into tonight. I'm cold. Will somebody build a fire?
All right.
We're in an age, and I realize it's close to wintertime. And I begin to think about these scriptures and relating to building a fire. And, of course, we understand that the scripture here is talking about a Holy Ghost fire, that you and I need a Holy Ghost fire that we can't survive without
right.
it.
Right.
I've been praying and asking God over recent years to send a mighty outpouring of Holy Ghost power like what America has never seen. Amen. Even beyond and greater than Azusa Street. I'm not talking about something off the wall or something that's gone half cracked, but I'm talking about a power and presence of the living God that will saturate His people once again. When God would settle down, just as I felt Him begin to do in this auditorium a few minutes ago. I've been in very few services where it's been like that. It seemed like that. I mean, I've been there where the Spirit of the Lord was just so great and so strong that it just about felt like I was almost hesitant to even open my eyes because I didn't want to stop and intervene with anything that God was trying to do. I felt a fear and awesomeness of the presence of God. Being in places where it just seemed like if you just opened your eyes that the place would be filled with the Shekinah glory of God. Oh, the world is in need of that power and presence of God tonight. There are folks right here in this building tonight that are cold and they're needing somebody to build on the fire. They're needing somebody that would stir up that gift that is within them. Amen. And that would fan them. They're needing somebody that would reach out and get a hold of God for them. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you are tonight. But I know that there's been times in my life that I have been so cold. Oh, and when you get cold and when you begin to have the winds blowing upon you and you're in those situations when the snow and the ice is there, the first thing that happens with a person freezing to death, they begin to get numb and they get beyond feeling. They get beyond experiencing anything in their soul. Oh, would to God that every backslider in the building tonight would begin to feel the shaking and the warming of the fire of God. Would that every lost and dying in this building tonight would begin to experience the power and the presence of God shaking them right to their being. Would to God in this place tonight that somebody that is cold and indifferent and hasn't felt the power for a long, long time, that somebody sitting next to you will build a fire. Then he said, it feels like liquid fire flowing in me. Oh, if you never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost burning in your soul, there's something in unction about it. There's something about that. You can't keep it quiet. I don't care how quiet and how reserved that you want to be. You can't keep it quiet. Oh, I'm cold. Will somebody build a fire? Jeremiah said, it's like fire that shut up in my bones. Everybody cannot build a fire. There's some tonight that are cold.
Come on.
I want you to look at the person next to you tonight. I want you to consider that person next to you. You don't know what's going on in their heart. You don't know what's happening in their spirit. Oh, what I want you to ask you to do tonight during the remainder of this service is you begin to ask God, God, would you put the fire in me that the person next to me can feel the fire? Oh, God, would you burn it inside of me that that person that I'm shaking hands with, Brother Tim, that they're going to feel a fire burning? I'm cold, buddy. Will you build me a fire? I can't build it myself. Will you build a fire for me? The backslider oftentimes can't build the fire himself. The person that's sick in their body sometimes can't get the fire built. Everybody can't build it. But I believe there's some folks here tonight that know how to build a fire. I believe there's some folks here tonight that know how to stir up something in the hearts and the life, in your heart and in your life. Amen. When it's singing a song, brother, let the fire of God get way down in the depths of your spirit, that when the song goes out, somebody's going to feel something from it. Oh, when you're teaching a class, that somebody there is going to feel it because they can't get a hold of God for themselves. That's why we need somebody to build a fire. It's cold. The world is cold. Brother Jerry, I've been rubbing shoulders with folks. They're cold. And they're freezing to death. And they don't really know it. There's some that are frozen in the fire. There's a story told years ago. I think it was in one of the areas of New York City. There was a fire in one of the big high-rise buildings. As folks were trying to escape, there's a man that thought he was going down to the first floor, but he ended up all the way in the basement. The story goes, as a fireman came, as in the middle of the winter, with temperatures way down below zero. They put water, but this man was in the basement, surrounded by the water, overcome by the smoke. As he lay there in the water and it began to freeze, he was a man, there was fire all around, but now he was frozen in the fire. There are folks that come to the church. Oftentimes they sit on our pews, but they're frozen. The fire is all around them, but they're frozen because they can't build a fire themselves. Remember how it was when I was a kid? I said, everybody can't build a fire. A lot of folks want to stay in bed until somebody else gets up and build the fire. Huh? When I was a kid, Pike County, Kentucky, we had a house. Well, the living room had a bed in it. The other ones, I mean, we was, great-granny lived with us, and grandpa lived with us, and all of us lived with us, and you know, we had four rooms on a path, and you know, we had a fireplace on, there's one of these double fireplaces. You got one over here and one on the other side. We finally got more wealthy and became rich, and we could afford a warm morning stove and didn't have to get up too early and build the fire in the fireplace. Thank the Lord for the warm morning stove. Amen. But I remember as a little kid, I want to lay in there in that feather bed, surrounded with all the quilts piled on me so high I couldn't turn over, waiting for somebody to get up and build fire. Because I didn't want to get up on that cold floor We didn't have carpet. They probably, some of these younger folks don't even know what it is to put their foot down on a cold linoleum or cold wood floor. Oh, but we're waiting for somebody else to build the fire. And then when they build it, we're going to get up and get warmed, aren't we? Who's going to build a fire tonight? Now, to build a fire, first thing you got to do to get the fire built. Now, actually, down home, it was a far. But, you know, you get educated, it becomes fire. But it was a far. To build a fire, somebody got to get the ashes out. Huh? Somebody got to get up and get the ashes out. If you're here tonight and you're backslid on God, I want to tell you there's some ashes of your past. Oh, that somebody needs to help you get rid of them. You got some past experiences that you might have a hard time getting over it. Somebody maybe in the church hurt your feelings. I want to tell you something. There is nothing in this world that is worth losing your soul over. Amen. We're talking about your soul salvation tonight. We're talking about you getting into the place and preparing yourself for heaven. You got to get those ashes out. And if you can't get them out, would you look over at somebody this evening and would you say, "Brother, will you help me get these ashes out? I need to help. I need help. I need help." We're in an age that folks need help, but we don't want to tell somebody else that we're in trouble. We get too much pride to say, "I need help with this." We get too much pride to call up pastor and say, "Pastor, I messed up and I need to make it right. I know I messed up." That's ashes. That's ashes. Pride is ashes. Past defeats are ashes. The time that the devil has beat you down to the ground, it's ashes. Get the ashes out. Oh, brother. Oh, sister. Get the ashes out. Next thing somebody's got to do, let's get some fuel to put on that fire. Huh? We use wood. Most of the time we use coal. But you got to have fuel. You get the ashes out. Then you put the fuel on top of it. That's what that person next to you is going to do for you tonight. They're going to help to put some fuel on there for you. If you can't do it, there's somebody here that's going to walk up and they're going to tell you, "Brother, sir, I love you. And it don't matter what you've done, our church will forgive you. It don't matter how low in the depths of sin and depravity that you've gone, there's somebody here that loves you. There's a God that cares." "But preacher, you don't know how bad I've been." I don't need to know how bad you've been. "But preacher, you don't know what I've done." I don't need to know what you've done. I want to tell you something. If the Lord Jesus Christ can come down and make a prostitute a Sunday school teacher, He can make a drunk into a preacher. I think I told you my story maybe a time or two. I don't know. My great-grandfather lived with a young woman. He was not married to her. In sin. When he passed off the scene, he passed this woman on down to my grandfather. After he passed off the scene, she went on down to my uncle. I'm glad it stopped there. But you know what God did? I'm talking about the grace and the mercies of God tonight, Brother Greg. I want to tell you what God can do. I got saved when I was 21 years old, 1969. When I was 20. It wasn't very long after that that my uncle, whom I had never met because he and this woman were in such depths of sin, but I got saved and God started an effect throughout my family, that uncles and aunts and my daddy got saved, my sister got saved, my brother-in-law got saved. I mean, we were having revival in our home, in our family. I had never met my uncle that I remember. I had heard what an evil man he was. But he got saved. And this woman he lived with got saved. Right here in Columbus, Ohio. I'm talking about the grace of God. That it don't matter where you've been or what you've done. Well, they understood they couldn't stay saved and continue to live like that. So they got married. Time went by. Don't you know the Lord called him to preach? And he and I had the opportunity to preach together in some meetings down home. When he died, I had the opportunity to preach his funeral. Later on, when she died, I had the opportunity to preach her funeral. Oh, I want to tell you, it don't matter what your past is. You can get over your past if you want to. All right. Come on. But you might need some help with it. So why don't you just go ahead and tug somebody next to you and say, will you help me to get through this thing? Will you help me to get a fire built? Throw some wood kindling on it. Then, once you get it going, you've got the ashes out. You've got the fuel on. You've lit the kindling. You got maybe just a little spark of something. Maybe you felt just a little something a while ago when the Holy Ghost was moving. Oh, that was a spark. If you felt a goosebump on top of your goosebump, that was a spark. Oh my, you know what you need to do? Just go ahead and get you something and begin to fan that flame. Yeah. Amen. Oh, you got a little kindling that's on fire. Go ahead and start fanning it. Amen. Open up the damper. Let the oxygen get to it. Amen. And let that little, even though it might have just been a little spark, let that spark ignite the fuel. And let that fuel begin to burn. And let the Holy Ghost of heaven begin to burn in your life like it's never burned before. I'm preaching to you tonight. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to tell you, you might be cold, but there's somebody here willing to build a fire for you. If you don't want to build it yourself, somebody here will build it. Somebody here will catch on fire. Somebody here maybe will help you to fan it. Hallelujah. Fan that flame. I'm cold. I need you. Word, I need you. Come on, Greg, I need you. Come on. Mike, I need you. Hallelujah. No man is an island in himself.
No, brother.
We need one another. The reason many folks fall back on God is because they quit leaning on others. I know we lean on Jesus, but you know what? That's a part of what the church is about, is to help us to grow strong. Amen. When you see a brother that is sinking and falling away, that's the one we need to love more. Oh my. When they get into that rebellious attitude, that's when we need to love them more. That's when we need to help them more and try our best to hold them up and lift up their hands that are hanging low just a little bit higher, because you see, they're out of control and they can't do anything about it. The devil's got his grip on them and they can't get out by themselves. Will somebody build a fire? Three things you need to build that fire. You need a source of heat. You need a combustible substance. Anything that'll burn. You need oxygen in the air. There are folks here tonight needing fire. There's a sinner. There's a backslider. There's the sick, the infirm. There's the cold. There's the indifferent. There's a lost world outside these four walls that need to see you burning with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There was a time that all that had to happen in a meeting was somebody just to walk up and say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I was teaching my Sunday school class last Sunday. Young man visiting our church. He's from another church. He said, "I don't understand." He said, "Y'all talking about miracles. My church, we've never seen one. I didn't even know God still did them. Didn't even know that God still worked miracles." You know why? Because they need somebody to build a fire in that church. Somebody needs to build a fire. I'm cold. Will you help me build a fire? I'm cold. Will you help me build a fire? I'm cold. Help me build a fire. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, walk by here. It's cold. Buddy, will you help me build a fire? Will you help me to fan it? I believe there might be a little flicker. Can we fan it? Holy Ghost, walk up and down these aisles tonight. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Fall fresh. Surely, surely you felt something tonight. Surely something's stirring inside of you tonight. You know what it is? The Holy Ghost. He's wanting to build a fire in you. Somebody here right now needs help. Somebody here right now is on the brink of disaster. Somebody here right now is on the verge. Somebody here is right on the edge of freezing to death. You're numb. But tonight there's been a little spark that you felt something. Would to God right now that you'd stand to your feet and make a beeline to this altar and let this church help you to build that fire.
Who's God talking to? Young lady, is God talking to you? Young man, is God talking to you? Dad, mom, is God talking to you? Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather. Into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire. Unquenchable.
For yea, saith the Lord, I have sought thee out. Yea, I call thy name. Yea, I place my hand upon thy life. Once again, even this night, I have called thee, and I have searched thee. Yea, and I have desired thee. Yea, though Satan would sift thee, yea, Satan would try thee. Yea, though Satan would destroy, I say unto thee this hour, seek me now, saith the Lord. Try me, saith the Lord. I will forgive. I will restore. I will comfort. Yea, I will help. Yea, but I say unto thee, seek me now, while I may be found. For yea, the hour will come when men will seek, but will not find. Yea, seek me now. Seek me now, saith the Lord. Oh, come, Amari, abo to bohushikla maharva haseya.
What are you going to do with that? Would you stand with me tonight? The way the Holy Ghost has moved, it ought not to take begging you to find a place to pray. The way the Holy Ghost is moved tonight, and I know He was speaking, and I know this message was for you. Quite a few of you I know. Several of you I've seen through the years. But I just about feel like right now, I could almost walk back to you and put my hand right on you. That God was talking to you. You need to be persuaded in your own heart. You're cold. You're getting numb. The next thing is you go to sleep. And while you're sleeping, life is gradually, so gradually, sucked out of you. Brother Tim, would you just come right up here, help me out if you would. Just want you to stand right here and just turn around there. Brother Tim's one, he said he'd help you build a fire. I believe Sister Sharon. I believe she'd come right up here and just maybe get right over on this. I believe she'd help you build a fire, ladies. I believe there's some others that are willing to help somebody build a fire tonight. You know, one of the precious things about the Lord is He doesn't force Himself on anybody. He wants you to come on your own free will, persuaded in your own heart. I appreciate Brother Tim. I believe you do. Will you come on up, ladies? Sister Sharon, help you build a fire. Men, Brother Tim can help you build a fire. We're waiting on you. Brother Smith, I don't feel a thing. Even the more reason that you ought to come and start building a fire. Will you? As they sing, would you come? As they sing, would you come?